Hello, hey guys, what is up? This is your host Kage, and welcome back to another episode of Kage's Peace, a podcast where we much talk about anything under the sun, and this is your co-host Kage. So for this week, I don't have a guest with me, and I apologize if the recording is a bit delayed, or rather the day that this comes out. I'm trying to get a workaround, or rather have a fixed schedule where everything is in line, because I am actually handling two podcasts. For those of you who don't know, I'm handling Basurans, which is the comedy side, and of course this one where I pretty much go all out here and say my thoughts, speak in English, because in the words of my co-host, I am a hypocrite here, or presumptuous, or whatever the term is using. But yeah, anyways, today is the 31st of January, and to those of you who are gamers, this time of the year is pretty much stacked. When I say stacked, I mean we have like a lot of really good games coming out. I'll just mention a few since there's too many of them, but these are the ones that are in my radar, and I already have copies of them, but the rest I'll probably get them when the sale goes down or something. But here are the titles that I am interested in, and let's start with the very first one, Tekken 8. Now, Tekken 8, I have a long history with the franchise. Though, I played Tekken 3 back then during my pre-teen years back then, and my first exposure to the franchise was there was a wet market near the place where I'm living in, and in that wet market there's a place called Ramat Game Center. It's one of those how do I describe this? It's a small area there in the wet market, or palengke, to you fellow Filipinos out there. And they have like lined up arcade cabinets where they're not the original ones. Chances are they're just boards that they bought somewhere, and it takes one peso for you to play the game, which is pretty expensive compared to nowadays because of inflation and all that shit. But anyways, I've seen people play Tekken, and I'm like pretty amused because during back that time, 3D fighting games isn't as fluid back then, I believe. And Tekken 3 is amazing considering, if you think about it, the hardware, the PS1 is pushing 60 frames per second in the 3D game, which is amazing. Even though we have like Bloody Roar 2, which did it before, and particle effects and all of that jazz. And I've gotten really serious with the franchise around probably in the early 2010s when I started attending college. After going back to campus, I stop over at SM North EDSA, play in Time Zone, I play in Quantum and World of Fun. And yeah, I spent a good amount of time playing Tekken 6, trying to get a feel for the franchise. And yeah, managed to discover my two mains, which are Asuka and Feng. And yeah, it's a really good time where I get to, hang out with the people there, play arcade gamers, learn from them, getting my ass beat. Even though, let's say, I've lost around probably 50 to 100 pesos a day trying to play Tekken, and believe me, those you don't have much credits with that amount. Because back then I believe it was like 2 credits or around 10 peso per attempt. I mean, wait, it's initially 15 to 20 pesos, so that's like 4 tokens. Just put it in, and if you want to continue or you want to have a rematch, it's going to cost you additional 10. So yeah, I don't have much attempts with my money, so I tried really hard to learn the mechanics, go to YouTube, learn the juggles pretty much, And those carried over until I hit, when I started working and I managed to have a PS4. And when Tekken 7 came out, it's like, I don't know, it's your typical Christmas for kids kind of thing, Where, even though I'm like a grown-ass adult by that point, I'm like, holy fuck, Tekken 7 is out. Even though the game originally went out in Japan for like, I don't know, maybe half a year or a year prior, and the version that we got retail-wise is like multiple versions of the game, because initially we don't have the Rage Drive, the blue aura thing where you can like extend your combos or have a really cool finisher or whatever. And yeah, we have Bakuma, the story mode is amazing, Tekken Ball is amazing, and I am surprised that actual Bandai Namco actually pushed through with the franchise, considering how much of a huge financial loss rather, Tekken Tag 2 was. And there's the expectations with the Street Fighter X Street Fighter X Tekken video game didn't do well. It's primarily on Capcom's side, but people have like that ill taste toward the brands. So it's kind of a bit amazing that with how Tekken 7 did after 7 years. And this is not really much of a swan song. It's kind of like I kind of talked about it in the other podcast, but yeah, that's about it. And now here we are with Tekken 8. I've been playing for roughly, I'd say, game came out on Thursday, I believe so. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think I've been Thursday or Friday? Oh yeah, it's Friday. So I've been playing for like 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, I've been playing game for 5 days. I've been labbing for the most part, went through the solo content of the game. To those of you who don't know what they are, it's primarily the story mode, which you can finish in roughly 3 to 4 hours, depending on your skill level. Some parts are a bit difficult to say the least, but yeah, it's something that you can learn. And we have like the modern style controls where you can just like uppercut and all of that shit. And other than that, I play the character episodes. It's sort of like the arcades mode, like back in the day, where you just go to the arcade version, pick a character, play 3 fights, and you get a unique ending, basically. And based on my experience with the game, I believe most of them are non-canon. It's kind of like unlike Tekken 7, where some stories are stupid non-canon stuff, while the others have carried over to the main story. Kind of like a good example of this is, I believe, Shadow's Shroud, where she met with Claudio and Zaffina, and yeah, she kind of got kidnapped, but in the end they kind of work together so they can like locate Jin, and we have that particular scene on the main campaign on Tekken 8. And other than that, I've done ghost battles and went through arcade quests. And yeah, if you're a newcomer to the franchise, holy shit, arcade quest is a fucking blessing, because it pretty much gets you to understand the fundamentals of the game, like the new heat system, the heat system. Basically, you get to understand certain mechanics like the rage arts, how to properly punish. You have access to frame data now, which is, I know it's a bit too much of an info dump for beginners, but you kind of get to know which moves are safe and which ones to use. And yeah, it's an amazing package overall. You get to learn the basics, and from there just play online, I mean, or play with friends locally or casually, and you get to experience and learn from all of this. Also, yeah, it kind of increases your focus and awareness, because aggression is, I would say, key moment here in Tekken 8, because in 7 is more of like a defensive kind of game where Korean backdashing and whatnot is a thing, but in Tekken 8, aggression is highly emphasized. And it's something that you guys should definitely get used to. But yeah, speaking of awareness and focus, I've never really been able to focus fully. Like, I don't know if it's just me in my early 30s phase in my life, but juggling between work and, you know, play is a very difficult thing to do. And sometimes we kind of have to rely on caffeine to get through the day or to get through it. But sometimes too much, I mean, it's a typical scenario at this point in life where most people have like 2 or 3 cups of coffee. Maybe that's just me, but they're kind of, for the lack of a better term, tends to make me crash a bit. And it's kind of had to get that unique balance of having too much energies and too much energy and, you know, being amped up to do stuff. But yeah, I've started drinking Magic Mind and it became my best friend, you know. As a guy who does a lot of things, I do a podcast, I play video games, I work and have a part-time gig as well. It really helps keep up my energy levels, and now I just take this little shot along with my morning matcha every morning, and yeah, I'm good for the rest of the day, pretty much. So yeah, I've been drinking this for the past roughly for the past 8 days, and what I can tell you guys is that it increases my mental energy and focus. Like I wasn't able to work, to those of you who don't know, for a good chunk of this month, and I have like 400 Jira tickets. After trying Magic Mind, it's been probably 2 to 3 weeks of work week, and I managed to call that down to from 400 to around 120, which is a bit difficult to do prior to me taking that. And it helps me with my memory as well, because I've been playing Tekken, of course. To those of you who don't know, you kind of have to memorize move lists to some degree, understand combo strings and all that jazz. It really helps me a lot dealing with the new characters, especially June, where they totally revamped their moveset and whatnot. But to those of you wondering if it's safe or whatever, I can 100% show you guys the ingredients. Like 100% organic. I can name a few because the list is too long, but the important things here are the cordyceps mushrooms. I mean, not the ones from The Last of Us, of course, so you won't become a zombie, but it's a powerful ingredient nonetheless. It's an adaptogen that reduces inflammation, strengthens your immune system, and supports higher energy levels and physical endurance by ramping up the production of ATP in your mitochondria, which is the powerhouse of the cell. I know it's a bit overuse, but yeah, that bit is always funny. And of course, matcha, it's like caffeine, but it isn't as hard as your body compared to coffee, pretty much. But yeah, I know you guys are interested in this product. You guys know me. I like my energy stuff. And if you're like me, who is a lot of things going on in your life, and you know, you want a game and whatnot, I totally recommend you try it. You can get it at magicmind.com/kagespace20, /kagespace rather, with my promo code kagespace20. You can also get up to 56% off your first subscription or 20% off of your one-time purchase. That's kagespace20 for 56% off. It also works if you're already a subscriber, which allows you to save on your next next payment subscription. So it really is huge savings on your part, and I would highly recommend to working gamers. Like, guys, let's be real here. We all have the tendencies to fall asleep, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes into a playthrough, and having the ability to have less caffeine and drinking less coffee and have the energy and focus to do so, it's gonna be a huge thing, man. I totally stand behind it because it works. It helps me, and now I can help anyone else who struggles with things like this. So, once again, it's www.magicmind.com/kagespace with my promo code kagespace20 for up to 56% off your subscription or, you know, 20% off your one-time purchase. If I was you, I'd get the 30-pack. It's definitely the best bang for your buck. So, yeah, just want to say thank you for Magic Mind for, yeah, sponsoring, yeah, this episode. And let's continue on with the games that I'm really hyped up for, rather. So, aside from Tekken, we have Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Or rather, the remake part 2, exercise side of things. I enjoyed... This is going to be short. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but since I haven't played the game, obviously, and it hasn't come out, but, you know, looking forward to it. The game is something to look forward to. The first part covers Midgar, which is like 1/3 of the game, but now this is more of an open world-ish kind of segment at this point where you get to explore other things. Since Yuffie came out on Intergrade, I think we're going to have a huge emphasis on Cid along with Vincent at that point. We kind of... Well, it's kind of shown in the trailers where you get to see Zack and the events on Cloud's hometown. Cloud and Tifa's hometown, rather. And chances are there's not much any improvements in the gameplay at that point, I believe. The combat is still going to be the same. It's still lit. It's a weird amalgamation or... Not really an amalgamation, that word is a bit off-putting to some. But it's a unique blend of combat and action RPG and turn-based where you can do dodge and, you know, use your traditional turn-based inputs. And I love it when the game pauses in a way so you can have like a moment to think if you're going to be casting Gyulaga, Pilaga, your Elementals, some Guardian, your summons or whatever. And I'll definitely play it, of course, but I don't think I'm gonna be getting it on day one because, you know, I don't have the money for it. I have a wedding to go to, which is fucking expensive, to my surprise, getting a suit and all that shit. But that aside, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, definitely on my watch or must play playlist. And I'll be probably buying secondhand off market, or if there's like a deluxe edition still available, I'll probably buy that. Now, moving on. This is a game that initially wasn't on my radar, but after playing the demo, I'm like, why did I not pre-order this? And that is Grand Blue Relink. To those of you who don't know, Grand Blue is a browser gacha game, pretty much. It was created by Cyan Games, you know, the guys who made Shadowverse and the other guys who made Shadowverse pretty much. And I think they're the ones who's handling the new gacha game, the Horse Girls game. I don't know the title because I don't know, man. Horse Girl Hybrids is like weird, but you know, it's Japan. But yeah, that aside, I played the demo and it's a pretty fun game overall. It's gonna be like a unique Monster Hunter slash anime trope kind of thing where you get to party with four members. You have like a huge roster of characters from the IP. Since it's a gacha game, there's like hundreds of them by this point. It's a good introduction to the actual main game. And I've tried playing Grand Blue Versus for initially before. And I was interested in a game. It's pretty easy to pick up. And, you know, Arc System Works handled it. So that's a different story. But, yeah. I'll be definitely playing this. If you guys want to have a feel for the Grand Blue universe, you can actually download Grand Blue Rising. And you don't get the full game, of course. But they have this, like, unique Fall Guys kind of thing. Where you can play the game, kind of. And if that's a good draw enough for you, you can buy the main game and let's do it. Now, well, just a heads up here, in case of you guys are wondering if I'm sponsored by any of those games, none at all. This is just me talking about what titles I'm excited for, and I wish I was sponsored by those guys, because I would be hard shilling the fuck out of them. Kidding aside, yeah, Grand Blue is one of the games that I'm pretty hyped up for. probably get it somewhere down the line. I know I wouldn't be as knowledgeable as much, but I like my lores in a video game. I'm a huge sucker for it. I mean, I'm pretty obsessed with it, and I have like an maybe I'm gonna have like an upcoming episode with Kevin on his show, or maybe a details of spoilers. Talking about Lore of Tekken, but yeah. Lastly, Persona 3 Reload. If you guys haven't noticed it already, based on my OC, it's based on the Seven Sisters High uniform. And Persona has been a huge part of my, for the lack of a better term, it's a huge part of my being, I guess. I love the franchise in the mid 2000s. I played the fuck out of them, especially when they played the English translation of Persona 2 Innocent Sin. And I've been a huge fan ever since. I'm pretty excited on what they have done for the franchise. I believe they've used the same engine for Persona 5 Royal for this one. Added new characters, reworked some of the story elements. I'm a bit. They kinda announced Wada-san is the new producer of the franchise after Shigemori. And all I can say is I'm looking forward to playing it. I will have the limited edition coming up. I won't be playing it on day one though, because to those of you who don't know, it's a huge time commitment and I want to do a completionist run on my first playthrough, so I want to 100% everything first, and I don't want to spend another 170 or 100 hours trying to leveling my stats, basically. Now, I want to talk about, for obvious reasons, I haven't finished the game, obviously, and really looking forward to it, and yeah, that's about it. Special mentions, I probably shouldn't say this as a special mention, but Yakuza 8, or Yakuza like a Dragon Infinite Wealth is probably the biggest budget that Sega's put out for a Yakuza game to date. Now, I understand some of the people are not fans of turn-based, that's understandable, but this is like the biggest budget game that Sega's made for the past couple of years, where I know you get to see some reused assets, but they've added a shit ton of content here. The mini games are amazing. The Pseudomon, the Crazy Taxi inspired DoorDash mini game. There's kind of like an Animal Crossing bit here where you have like an island to yourself. You rebuild that island to whatever the fuck you want. And it's 100% fun. The combat is amazing, and you get to see Kiryu's side story, where this is not a spoiler, just a heads up. It was announced during the multiple trailers that he has cancer, and it's pretty much his bucket list. So you have a shit ton of content to do, as always and tradition for the franchise. The sub stories and the narrative is gonna be amazing, and you guys can play it now if it's on your preferred platform. So if you guys want to play or get into the Yakuza series, probably play 7 Verse or the Like a Dragon new translation. And that's about it. So yeah, that's the end of this week's podcast episode. I wanted to hear from you guys. What are the games that you're interested or hyped up about for this time of the year? Because we have way too many games. I'm pretty sure I didn't mention more of them because I can't cover everything and I'm primarily more of a JRPG guy. So yeah, let me know in the comments, especially on Spotify below, what do you guys think? Thank you for Magic Mind once again for sponsoring this episode. And yeah, if you want to help support the podcast, feel free to, follow me on my socials. That's Instagram, Facebook, and Threads. That's Kage Space. You can also, if you want to support financially, you can go to donate to my GCash or via my PayPal. And I also have a comedy podcast with Kevin from the Least We podcast called Buzzwords Podcast, where we rant about stupid things, be it social media, stuff that we want to talk about, nostalgia or whatever, in a comedic kind of way. So check that out. And yeah, that's the end of this week's episode, and catch you guys on the next one. Bye.